You guys, this is Jen, and I have a major announcement to make. I'm so excited to be telling you guys this, but my new book, Sales in a New York Minute, is coming out, and it's already available for pre-sale on Amazon. You know what that means? It means you can buy it right now.
In true New York fashion, 212 pages of real-world and easy-to-implement strategies to make more sales, build loyal relationships, and guess what? Make more money.
That's right. My new book, Sales in a New York Minute, offers strategies that will help you get past the gatekeeper, get to the decision maker, overcome objections, demonstrate your value, close the sale, earn referrals and testimonials, and build relationships that create lifelong friendships. Go to the show notes and get yourself a copy of my new book. Click, 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 click. Time for a sales manager spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
Okay, diehards, listen up. This is a special segment. We're going to welcome the great Derek Sousley, Area Sales Manager for Hazard Free Consulting. Derek has loved the hospitality business since he was a busboy. Wow. All the way back in 1994. For more than 20 years, his career is focused on taking great care of guests and ensuring their happiness with service and product they receive or experience. Derek says that there's something about the smell of a hotel air freshener in the morning that just makes everything seem right in the universe. It's a welcome, Derek, but I can tell you that I'm in hotel rooms about 200 nights a year, and I forbid them to spray anything anywhere near me. But I know what you mean. I know what you're talking about.
Well, that's your prerogative. To me, when I walk in the morning, I smell that air freshener. That Mountain Mist or Zephyr air freshener, I just feel good. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird.
Is that what you sell?
No. I sell hotel rooms.
I thought you walked in and created a trail.
I just gave Ecolab a free plug.
Got you. So talk to me just a little bit about your company and the things that you offer.
So, you know, just to clarify, Hazard Free Consulting is a business that I own. I do hotel restaurant consulting on the side. I am a salaried employee for a hotel ownership management company, Indiana Hospitality Group.
Got you.
So in that position, I have 5, soon to be 7 hotels that I represent, and I negotiate special corporate rates with companies. And also handle some of their business group sales, like when they have conventions or meetings or training events. So it's kind of different from a lot of the people you have on your podcasts, because, you know, a hotel room is a very the most perishable commodity you can sell, because at the end of the day, if you don't sell that room, it's gone. You can't sell it tomorrow. You can't, you know, put it on the shelf and sell it again. So there's an urgency to kind of identify the demand in those different markets and the decision makers that are able to, you know, sign agreements and contracts.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, sometimes I'll go to a hotel and they're full. Sometimes I go and they're 3/4 empty. And the only difference is sales.
Right.
And, you know, if the room is gone that particular night, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. I will also tell you that sometimes I'll go to a hotel and they say, we're full. And I say, well, if Bill Clinton walked in or if Donald Trump walked in, would you have a room for him? And they go, oh, probably. I said, well, he won't be here. Let me have his room. And that's how I start that conversation. But, you know, sometimes I always make a reservation. I've rarely been walking for the listener, for the diehards, is when the hotel is full, they walk you to another hotel. But they usually tell you to take a cab to another hotel unless the hotel's within walking distance.
Correct.
Anyway, you're out of there. and they don't really seem to care. When's the last time you stayed in a hotel, Zach?
Last time I stayed in a hotel, I was in Dallas. I stayed at the Renaissance Hotel in Dallas, Texas, a few months back. Mm-hmm. Went out to a personal development convention out there, got some good stuff in there.
Was it any good?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Learned a lot. Felt the empowered.
No, the hotel.
Yeah, I had a 23rd floor view out of Dallas, a few miles out. So
that's cool.
Good deal.
Nice. Renaissance is a great brand.
Yeah.
My criteria for hotel rooms is they have to be quiet, they have to have a fluffy bed, they have to have shower pressure that washes the soap off of me, and high-speed internet. Anything other than that's a bonus.
Jeffrey, you would be one of my clients where I would go and personally inspect the room before you came to make sure you were happy, you know, because you're probably like a Spire Elite or a Platinum. And
I'm whatever they can, you know, instead of treating you like shit, they just treat you like dirt. But the bottom line is I have status at these hotels.
Well, we wouldn't do that to you, but, you know, some hotels do. It's a tough industry, you know, like all industries. We struggle with the hourly help and obtaining and keeping talent. But it's always growing. I mean, you drive down the road, you guys see it. They're building hotels everywhere.
Yeah. Do you have a team or is it just you?
It's just me in this role. I have general managers that help me with the group sales at each hotel, but I do all the corporate accounts. It's about $8 to $9 million, give or take, in revenue a year. So it keeps me pretty busy.
Are you pals with all the general managers?
You know, I for the most part, I have a good team right now that I work with. We have had some that are sort of weak.
Yeah.
And that makes it hard because you're out selling the product, you know, but usually they move them along pretty quickly or just through attrition. They go away.
A couple of years back, I gave a talk to all the general managers of the Embassy Suites. And I began my talk by saying, wow, it's so nice to see you all in a room together because every time I call you, you're in a meeting.
Did anybody laugh when you said that?
Oh, they were howling. they knew exactly. They knew.
Well, you know, I was a general manager for 10 years, and I transitioned to sales. The general manager job is a tough job. It really is, and there's so many.
It's a thankless job.
Yeah, it is, and it's, you know, it's like being a doctor. I mean, you're on call 24/7, and your elevator goes down, or there's so many things you can't control, variables. You know, your internet crashes. You've got to get out of bed and go in there.
When I ask for the general manager and somebody says he's not on the property right now, I'll say, does he have a cell phone?
Yeah, and if you went to one of my properties when I was a general manager, I'd say, don't ever give out my cell phone.
Right, exactly. No, I don't want the cell phone. I just say, can you please call him
or her and have him
call me back?
Yeah, well, now my business cards are at every one of my hotel's front desks and with my cell phone number on it. So I encourage it, you know, so I don't miss any leads that way. And people do call.
Making yourself available, that's key.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing with this business, if you don't answer their call and you don't book them, they're just going to keep calling until somebody takes care of them, gives them what they want. And then they're going to sign a contract for years. So you're going to be out of it, you know. So you got to be on it.
So most of the people that check into your hotels come there on a routine or regular basis, or they have a company that has people come?
They call it they have market segments. So like corporate transients, anywhere from 8 to 15% of your business for a hotel. So it's kind of the bread and butter, the stability though. So like here in South Bend, Indiana, like we were talking about a few moments ago, you know, in the wintertime, nobody's coming here to hang out. It's definitely not a leisure destination unless there's a Notre Dame football game in the fall. So, you know, you got to have that base business to keep things going and keep everybody working and the profit coming in.
Geographically, let me update our diehards out there.
Sure.
Derek is at, I don't know where the hell, he's in northern Indiana. And northern Indiana, for those of you who don't know, the weather conditions there, anywhere between November and the end of March, the weather's going to be pretty much the same. Freezing-ass cold.
Right.
And when it snows sideways on the highway. Are you on the Highway 90 there?
Yeah, actually, my office, I'm sitting right now, I'm about 3 miles away from Interstate 90.
So there is a sort of an understanding that you're only there on purpose. Like you're going to visit your kid, there's a college basketball game, something's happening that draws you to the frozen tundra. It's like Green Bay, Wisconsin, only there's nothing to do when you get to Elkhart.
So let me add, I just moved out here, you know, for the charlatans out here.
Charlatans.
They flip the lid if it snows at all. So I just came from Chicago, so I know exactly where you're coming from. But I hear out here, if it snows an inch, they shut down everything in sight. So.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Zach, we're 90 miles about east of Chicago. And, you know, I lived in southern Indiana for a couple of years when I was going to college. And
you lived in Garrett. Oh, southern Indiana.
Evansville.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's as southern as you can get. Where'd you go, to Paducah or something?
University of Southern Indiana for a couple of years I attended.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, if you get an inch of snow there, they're canceling schools. I'm like, what's wrong with these people?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. We have 10 inches of snow and it's, oh, yeah, you can, you know, the teacher's running late today, but class isn't canceled, so...
Yeah, they very seldom ever cancel my high school. I mean, a handful of times maybe, and it was like because of a blizzard.
And that's when you're excited because you got to go out and build a snowman or something. But
so the weather's nice. We've established that. Do you hire the GMs or does somebody else hire the GMs?
We have regional managers that do that. Sometimes they'll ask for my feedback or I'll help with recruiting. But for the most part, our regional director of operations handle the hiring.
Do you do anything now that the economy's kind of turned around a little bit? Are you doing anything different this year than you did 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you want to, as they say in Indiana, make hay when the sun's shining, right? Maybe they say that down there too. But
I think they say that pretty much everywhere. I'm not really sure.
Did they say it everywhere? Okay, I thought it was a
Kansas especially.
Right. So, you know, we push rate. We're able to raise rates higher. And push them a little more, but you got to be careful with that because, you know, we all know this economy, while it's booming and things are going well, it's not if we hit another recession, but it's when. So, you know, you got to find that fine line of keeping people happy and keeping their trust while still maximizing your revenues every day.
You seem pretty knowledgeable, and I'm going to say that, you know, if you have 20 years of experience at anything, you have sort of tricks of the trade or pieces of philosophy that you espouse. What do you tell people that are in your in the same room with you that can help get you customers or help bring you leads? Is there anything you talk to them about observing things or asking questions of people?
Well, when you're talking to like a potential prospect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with a prospect, first of all, you know, people don't do business with a business, they do business with a person.
Mm-hmm.
And they trust people. So, you know, in sales, relationships, everything. And a hotel stay is a very personal thing. I mean, you know, they're coming into your building, they're trusting you with their safety, their security. A lot of times they'll have a very valuable automobile out in the parking lot, you know, so they look at every detail. So it's very important that not only do we get them into the building, you know, through our sales soliciting by offering them a great rate, giving them a tour, showing them a product, but then you got to deliver on the service once you have them in, you know. And if you don't take care of them, I mean, unfortunately, I have experience where I've signed, you know, huge accounts worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and we lose them because the hotel didn't execute. So it's very important that we call it pull through in the hotel business, where once you get them in the door, you treat them special, you take care of them all the way till they're out the door and in their car, you know, the whole time you've got to get them and just treat them great.
When I check into a hotel, they greet me one of four ways. You want to know what they are?
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Next. That's the Las Vegas greeting.
Right.
Just a second. I'll be with you in just a second. Last name. Right?
Right.
Next. Just a second.
Checking in. Do they say checking in?
Yeah, that's checking in. And when they say checking in, I say, no, I'm here for my hair transplant. What do you think I'm doing?
Well, that's why I tell desk clerks, I say, why do you think they're here? Why are you saying checking in? Of course they're checking in.
Yeah.
You know? Why don't you just say, welcome to the Marriott or the Hilton. You're going to have the greatest day you've ever had, and I'm going to make sure of it.
You would make an excellent guest service rep, sir.
Thanks. I don't know if I could take the cut and pay, but yeah, I certainly could apply if need be.
Yeah, if you ever get bored.
So is there a trend right now in what you're doing that says the business is up, occupancy is up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now, nationally, so hotels are graded by kind of a different scale. It's called RevPAR, which stands for revenue per available room. And that's a combination of multiplying the average daily room rate by the hotel's occupancy percentage. And that transfers into dollar terms. And that's kind of what banks look at. And as a market or as a industry, that's kind of the indice. So RevPAR is growing. ADR has stabilized some, but occupancy continues to show growth, 3 to 4% this year and into next. So the industry as a whole, if you're running over 50% occupancy in a hotel, you're profitable. So once you hit up into the 60-70%, you're really making money. So the industry itself is doing very well right now. It is starting to become a bit oversaturated with new builds, because they're just building hotels everywhere. But that's good for us because it kind of makes you step your game up and try a little harder and take a little bit better care of your guests.
The RevPAR thing has always been an enigma to me because they're so interested in milking everybody out of their last dollar that they forget about, I want this guy to come back and tell other people.
Right. So our strategy is a little different here. We focus more on occupancy because, again, you know, we are in what they call tertiary outlying markets. We're not in major metropolitan markets. A couple of my hotels are in the woods. Yes, sir. Two of my hotels have horse and buggies going by them regularly.
Oh, that's cool. That's so nice. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It is neat. So, you know, that being said, relationships huge for us because, you know, we know that there's other hotels out there, but we want people to feel like they're part of the family. And, you know, I have people call me on my cell phone on the weekend and say, Derek, you know, I know we've got this account, but I've got my daughter's wedding coming up. Can you help me? You know, that's the stuff that makes you feel good because you say that's where, you know, I know that we have a relationship and they trust me.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. So do you book rooms for the Golden Domes football weekend against Michigan? And
that, my friend, is pretty much why they build the hotels here. I mean, it's huge. You know, in the stadium itself, a good friend of mine runs the Fairfield Inn by Notre Dame right across the street from Notre Dame. And, you know, he'll get $600 a night for home games.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a Fairfield Inn. You know, you walk out the back door and you could throw a golf ball and land it on Notre Dame's campus. You know, so people, the alumni, they don't care. They want to be close and being on the action. So as a consequence, it's just really driven the revenue, tourist revenue. And
$600 a night, does that include their shitty breakfast?
Yeah, well,
or bring,
you know,
it to the door,
and,
too.
But it's location, you know, it's all about location. Notre Dame is where the action is in this town, you know, in South Bend, Mishawaka area.
Well, you have the reputation and you almost had a good year last year.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close.
Are you predicted to have a good one this year?
You know, I say that every year with Notre Dame is a good year as long as people keep coming to town, you know.
Yeah. So do they go to the basketball games?
They do, but you don't get as much of the overnight travel. It's not, you know, I mean, like when you have the home football games, people are flying in on their jets. You know, all the rental car places sell out. And just to go out on the campus for a Notre Dame football game is the energy out there is just great. And it's so much fun. People are tailgating and, you know, everybody's having a good time. It's just a really exciting thing.
Yeah, I love college football because the games mean so much. Every game means something.
Yeah, you don't have millionaires, you know, and everybody out there is not making $1-2 million a year to play and they really love the game. At least if they are making that, you know, you don't know.
Are you talking about
it, right?
The players being paid? Oh,
right.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that. Just kidding. So I want you to leave us with a little bit of wisdom. You have 20 years under your belt, and I'd like you to share with our diehards, what do you contribute your sales success to, the continuance of your sales success to?
Well, I think more than anything else, two things. I think one, you have to believe in your product. And I've been very fortunate to have good brands that I sell for, nationally known brands, you know, Marriott, Intercontinental Hotel Groups, which is your Holiday Inn families of hotels, and a couple of choice hotels. So, you know, if you know the hotel's running well and it's a good product, you feel great selling it. The other thing is, regardless of what you're selling, is you know, I tell people as a joke, I say, well, before I met my wife, I asked lots of girls out and most of them said no. So I can take a no, you know, mm-hmm. And every no, as we all know in sales, is closer to a yes. So you Absolutely. Have to have that tenacity and have a good attitude and have fun with it. You know, I have fun and I joke around and I go in places and I'll say something goofy like, hey, I'm here selling vacuums and we're sucking up the competition. And they laugh.
Cool.
It's just goofy and it's cheesy and it loosens them up and they say, who's this goofball? And then they kind of talk to you and they'll kind of give you some information. Yeah. You know? So you kind of like what you're doing and have fun.
I like walking into a place cold and I greet somebody in the front and I say, I know you actually run the place, but I'd like to talk to the person that thinks they do.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that one.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, so,
that is good.
I want to thank Derek very much. Die Hard, Zach, we will be continuing this series for a long, long time. Very insightful, and Midwest people are truthful and nice every single time.
Thanks thank for you for having me. It's a great honor. I read the sales Bible, and I've been a big fan for a long time.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.